Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Family Business Radio. It is Thursday at 1, and that is our regular broadcast time, so I want to welcome you. And I want to remind our listeners that through Family Business Radio, we are showcasing family businesses and building a community designed to educate, inform, and support family-owned businesses. So each week, our guests include family business owners, key executive non-family members who are helping to drive those businesses, and the trusted professional advisors that assist them. I'm Pat Romboletti from Sage Executive Search and your co-host. Normally at this point, I hand off to Meredith Moore, my other the other host of Family Business Radio from Moore & Associates, but she is out today, so I'm flying solo. So on today's show, you know, a few things are easier but more costly to put off than estate planning. And while estate planning for any individual is a critical part of minimizing taxes, for a family-owned business, estate planning also requires consideration of business continuity, preparing future generations for leadership and family harmony. And, of course, the bulk of the assets are typically tied up in the family-owned business. So, and in 2010, we are facing ongoing confusion with the state of the estate taxes and exceptions. So our guest today is Lisa Chappelle, and she'll help us delve into these topics. So welcome, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you. Lisa, can you tell our audience a little bit about your practice?
Sure. I'm an attorney. I practice in Roswell with the firm of Rolater & Schippel. I've been at the firm for 16 years now, and we primarily do estate planning, probate work. We set up small businesses and all sorts of handle all sorts of real estate transactions.
And I noticed that you are a certified mediator.
I am.
Yeah, that's a big topic these days.
It's a recent addition to my repertoire because I normally advise clients not to litigate, not to spend a lot of money with attorneys. And the best way to do that is through mediation.
Great. Lisa, you know, we chatted last week, and you told me that you have a little history in family business. And I think it's always fun for our audience to know that kind of background from our guests, since many of them walk in those shoes. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, a lot of times when my clients come into the office, it's easier to speak with them about my personal issues so that they understand. I'm not just advising them from a textbook standpoint, but I'm using my own personal experiences to help them understand what could happen in their lives as well. And I come from a family. My father started a business 38 years ago, and it's a day camp business.
Huh.
And it's all throughout Metro New York area. And my brother works for him. My sister-in-law works for him. And I opted to go to law school and move south.
Well, that is a topic that I think we will address, because you are now a sibling not involved in the family.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And it's been a process to try and get him to do his estate plan over the past few years.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't know. If we can't get him to do it, I don't know what we'll be able to do for our listeners. But let's give it a shot. And Lisa, let's start first with talking about what happens, you know, what's the worst case scenario? If everyone just sits back, or anyone is sitting back right now and saying, look, I'm so busy running the day-to-day, and this recession has got me so bogged down, I really don't have time for proper estate planning, and, you know, succession planning will let all that go to the side. What are some of the pitfalls of that?
Well, I'll tell you, there are so many pitfalls with not having a proper plan. The first could be if there's a child in the family that's working actively in the business, and there's a child that's opted out of the business, how do you intend to leave your estate to your children or your children and your spouse? If you don't have a proper estate plan, then your non-working child can get an equal share to your child that's working in the business, and that could create all sorts of problems once you're gone.
Wow.
Mm. The other issue is, well, maybe the other child would want to work in the business if given the opportunity. Maybe that child would make an issue with his sibling once mom or dad has passed away.
Mm.
And what's sad about that is when someone passes away and it is a family business, the siblings and the spouses, they're grieving the loss of a family member. And another issue arises is who's going to be taking care of the business when an event like that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the best thing to do is to invest a little bit of time, and with the proper planning and the proper professionals, it could be an easy process for you. And a big relief once it's completed to know that everything is set the way you want it, set the way you think your heirs would want the situation handled. And you can go back to business and making your business profitable because you know that the other part, the future, is taken care of for you.
Exactly. And I know a big part of estate planning, while there's much more to it for family business, some of it is sheltering and accommodating so that you pay less tax. And isn't there a settlement that if someone passes away, that those estate taxes are due within 9 months, is it?
Within 9 months, you're supposed to pay your taxes and file an estate tax return if your estate is over the taxable limit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in 2010 right now, there are no estate taxes. It's an anomaly, I guess, mm-hmm. or an off year where everyone thinks that if you pass away in 2010, there's no estate taxes and nothing to worry about. But the big problem that happens in 2010 is because there's no estate taxes, there will be a capital gains on any real estate owned. Okay, so if your family business is a management company or you own real estate as part of your family business, a huge problem can arise, especially in 2010, because the beneficiaries of your estate will have to pay the capital gains taxes on the real estate. And they may not be able to sell the real estate.
Right.
And then they're going to have to go out and borrow money to pay the taxes on the capital gains. And what are they going to use as collateral? They might not have collateral.
Right.
They might wind up having to sell the family business
right.
or sell other assets to keep that real estate.
Right.
Now, I just want to explain, I'm not a CPA and I can't give tax advice, but I can give you general information about estate taxes.
Well, I think you just really covered off a really important topic, because in many of our shows we've alluded to this issue of, hey, there's no estate tax for 2010. This is a great time, isn't this? If you're going to pass away in 2010. But what you've just alluded to is really important, because you're right. Most family businesses, much of their wealth is tied up in some form of real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have to settle with the IRS 9 months after that death and I can't sell the real estate, then I guess the family could be strapped with selling the business if they haven't planned properly.
Correct, because trying to get a loan these days
yeah.
is a lot tougher than it used to be.
Well, I think hopefully listeners are listening and understanding that if the namesake or the founder particularly of a business has just passed away and there hasn't been a plan in place, the bank is going to look even more askew at that and say, you know, planning wasn't done. The namesake of this business has passed away. We can't be sure that this has continuity, I would have guessed.
Well, you can imagine if someone's estate plan is not taken care of, probably a lot of the business records aren't that readily available to deliver to a banker
exactly.
either.
Exactly. So let's back up a bit to that topic because it we're going to go in detail on other things, but this shadow about this 2010 reprieve. So if I'm a business owner and I'm listening and I go panic right now because I have a warehouse and three outbuildings and I realize I haven't updated for that, what do they need to do right away?
Well, they should do. But the first thing they should do is sit down with a team of experts,
okay.
their attorney, their CPA, their wealth manager, and let them come up with an individualized plan for their specific needs. You know, a lot of people call me and say, I need an estate plan or I need a will. Do you have some forms you can send me to fill out? And I say, no. I don't just give you a set of forms and you fill them out and I draft some documents for you. You need to come in and we need to discuss your individual situation, because with every individual or every individual family business, they're all different.
Mm.
They all have different assets. They all have different goals. And so as an estate planning professional, I need to get to know your specific situation in order to advise you properly.
Well, it sounds like, you know, I think if anybody's drafting a business plan, they have to figure out what their goals are and what the purpose of the business is, what the mission of the business is. And I, you know, in talking with you earlier and listening to you, is it kind of that process? Is there a beginning stage before you put the ink on paper and strategize any tactics? Do you tend to sit down with your clients and try to figure out what's the mission that they're trying to achieve for the family. How does somebody just, you know, walk off the street with a husband, wife, and one in the family and not in the family, sit down with you? How do they get started?
Well, I say to the client, we're going to sit down for half an hour to an hour and discuss your particular situation. What would help before you walk in my door is getting a list together of your assets, what you think the values of those assets are, and beneficiaries are either named on those specific assets or who you want them to be through our plan. And finally, what's your overall vision? What do you want to see come out of our meeting? Just have some general ideas. I can guide you and help you get to your final destination you want to see in the future, and we can work through it and get to that point. Not 100% guaranteed, because you never know with an estate plan what's going to happen. Is your business going to be successful 5 years from now? Are you going to have to file for bankruptcy? Hopefully not. Mm-hmm. Maybe your children will decide in the next 2 years they don't want to be a part of your business for whatever reason. An estate plan, although it's done and in writing, it's not a permanent plan. An estate plan is actually like a moving plan. It changes as the laws change related to the taxes, it changes as your family circumstances change, and it changes according to the economy in some instances.
Right. And do you often have situations where key executives who have been with the business for 10, 15, 20 years, I mean, many times someone has brought in a CFO to really manage the financial piece of the business. Are those often included in the estate planning?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. Okay. It depends on the actual business. Sometimes the head of the business or the person who started the business wants to protect mm-hmm. their key employee.
Right.
Son or daughter might not like key employee. Right. So mom or dad, they're going to take that extra step, hopefully, to protect the key employee. Otherwise, if something happens, that guy could be gone, mm-hmm. you know, day one when son or daughter step in to take over the business.
Right. So the estate plan is not just planning tax shelter. It's looking at succession issues. It's looking at who's going to really continue to run the business. And that's all outlined in there as well.
Sure.
Exactly. You know, we talked a little bit about this issue of a sibling in and out of the biz, one in and one out, and some have come in and out. I mean, there's just so many different scenarios, as you indicated. But the real issue, well, there's two issues that seem to come up, equalization of the distribution of the assets, and then in addition, just how do you generate some liquidity at some point in time? So how have those issues been addressed with you?
Well, I'll tell you from a personal standpoint, in our family business, the estate plan is a little confusing because there's a business and then there's assets outside the business.
Okay.
Nobody knows what the value of the business will be when my father passes away.
Right.
Because that's a mystery.
Right.
So you can only assume or make a judgment of the value that you think it may be and revisit that judgment every few years to make sure that your estate plan is up to date. But you have to decide if the child in the business gets the business, how are you going to compensate the other sibling? Are you going to compensate the other sibling? Maybe there are no assets outside of the business. Mm-hmm. I have a few clients that work on percentages. Mm-hmm. They might only have this business as the majority of their estate. Mm-hmm. They might have three or four children. Say one child's not in the business. They want that child to get something, so they might leave that child 10% of the estate. Even though the child's a quarter owner of the family estate, per mm-hmm. se, they might only get 10% of the estate because they haven't worked for any length of time in the family business. That creates another issue. Brothers and sisters now have to buy the other sibling out of the estate.
Right.
How are they going to fund that purchase? Is the business liquid? Do they have the assets to buy their sister or brother out of the family business? And if they can't, how are they going to handle that?
Right. I would guess that's one of the biggest issues, because how do you create liquidity? If everything's in the business, and let's take, you know, this day and age, businesses aren't selling and banks aren't lending. So what are strategies that, and I guess this really is something that has to be looked at ahead to say, at least for the near future, we know 100% of our assets are tied up in the business. Mm-hmm. Two of our children out of five are not in the business, and there's going to have to be some liquidity created when the parents pass so that there can be some buying out of that own that piece. So how is that usually accommodated?
One way to do that is through insurance, buying life insurance on the owner of the business or your key family members, so that those remaining can buy the other heirs out of the estate, so to say.
Okay. So life insurance becomes a big piece of the estate planning strategy.
It can.
Okay. You know, we've had, you talked about value. You don't know what value the camp business has. I'm sure it goes in spurts, and this is probably a tough year for camps.
Correct.
Yeah. We had a business valuation expert on, and he was talking about fair market value, and kind of finding ways to, I guess in estate planning, to obviously, your goal would be to establish it not at the value that you would hope to sell it to someone, but at the lowest amount possible. So is that fair market? Or
It depends on what you're looking for as the remaining heirs. If you're the sibling that's not in the business, you want a higher value on that business so that you can get a higher share of the rest of the estate, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to avoid some estate taxes, then as a family, maybe you want the business to be valued at a lower value.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on what the current situation is at the time of death, what type of value you want to determine the business to be at.
But is that a topic that needs to come up in the early stages of planning, that some basis is determined so that after you pass, you don't have each side arguing over how it should be?
Sure. We have in the past thought of ways to how to get the business appraised at the time of death.
Right.
Okay. So that would be a good item to include in your estate plan. How you want to see your children react, or your spouse and your children react and value the business, so that there's no fighting.
Right.
That could be the worst situation when you start having children that are fighting over your family business. You know, the work's not going to get done, and then this thing that you created, what happens to it when the current owners are too busy fighting to handle the day-to-day business?
Sure. We read about it on the front pages of the Wall Street Journal fairly regularly, where that's happening. And what role does a buy-sell agreement play in this?
Well, there's many different ways to handle a buy-sell agreement, but you can incorporate that within your shareholder agreement or within your operating agreement of your limited liability company, however your company is structured, so that say all your kids are in the business. Okay, then they would be a member of this operating agreement or the shareholder agreement, and there would be a detailed plan on how you can either buy your siblings out of the business or they would sell it to you based on the terms of the individualized agreement.
It sounds to me like there has to be so much thinking on the part of the business owner, in regardless of how many of the children are in the family or out of the family, regardless of what the situation is, on all of the various scenarios.
It's true. A lot of times there's a child that's not in the family business because they're not capable of being in the family business for whatever reason. Their mind doesn't work the way the business works, but dad still wants to protect that child. Every single family business is completely different from the next. There's no black and white rule onto how to set up a plan. You just need to trust your advisors and have them work together as a team on your individual circumstances to create the plan that's best for you.
Well, so if I'm going in to sit down with an estate planning attorney, what questions am I hoping if to know that I'm getting to the core of things? Because I can honestly see situations where somebody might walk in and kind of get to your point, the kind of documents like they asked for. Give me the two forms and I'll sign them. It sounds like there's so much more digging that has to happen. What are the kinds of things that they should be expecting from their estate planning attorney in terms of questions to delve so that even though it's a working document, that at least it's structured initially with some credibility?
You should feel comfortable talking about anything related to the business with your attorney or your CPA. There should be, you shouldn't feel like you have to hold anything back. Everything that you say to your attorney is confidential anyway. So even if you would hurt your children's feelings by stating things in that meeting, you have to have a sense of security that you can say anything, because if you hold back, it's not going to get outlined in your plan, and what you truly want in the outcome might not happen. But as long as you're comfortable with the dialogue and you feel comfortable that you know what's going to happen, or you can best determine what would happen, then you should feel comfortable with your experts.
And how often should they be regularly? Let's assume that there hasn't been any change that they are aware of, you know, so a child didn't come in or out of the business, or it didn't expand or contract, so none of the obvious clues that there needs to be revamping. In general, how often should they be reviewing it?
I tell all my clients, because although they might not think something triggered a change, I'll know if something triggers a change just by talking to them for 10 or 15 minutes on the phone. I tell them to pull their paperwork out every 3 to 5 years. Just call me. We'll go through it. I'll ask them some key questions just to see what's going on in their lives, see if their assets have fluctuated in any way. Has there been any changes to the family? Either there's a new employee, either by marriage or a grandchild's now in the business. I'll ask the key questions, and we'll take it from there. And a lot of times I can say, okay, call me back in 3 more years. Yeah. I'll talk to you then. But it's always nice that my clients remember to call and just say, listen, I heard this on the news. Does this affect me? And, you know, personally, I don't charge my clients for those phone calls. I charge them when they start changing their plans. But I want them to feel comfortable with me that they can call me and ask me a question or two, just so that they can have peace of mind that what we did 3 to 4 years ago is still okay now.
You talked a little bit about this team, and that has been a resounding theme on our shows. You know, it isn't just one. As you mentioned, you're not a CPA. There are tax experts. There's wealth planning. What is this? What is this? Two things. What does this team look like? And at what point does the business owner know how to pull this together? Do they start in one particular place? Does it not matter? Should they all meet simultaneously very often? What does that team component look like?
In today's day and age, they're not meeting all together at one time. Okay,
they're texting.
they're texting. No, they're leaving emails for each other. Usually, is how it happens. But you go into if you know one professional, one trusted advisor, go see that trusted advisor. If you don't have, say you have an attorney but not a CPA that can help you with this, or even a wealth manager because you think that word's too scary for you, go to the one that you know, the one that's helped you previously, and they will help you organize a team.
So, you know, we were talking before the show about Oprah having her own wealth manager, and that's one end of the spectrum of in terms of wealth in the billions. What's the threshold? If I'm sitting here and saying, well, you have a family business and we're generating X million in revenue or just close to, and yeah, we do have the building. Where's that point where I start to look and say, I have assets that are going to have significant tax ramifications?
You do that right away.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how small your business is. If the family's involved, or even if the family's not involved, it's always better to have a proper plan. It's usually a lot cheaper to start off by paying some money to get a plan in place than years down the road not having the plan and having to pay to get something created when it's far too late, or even worse, after someone's passed away.
Right. And on that same topic, let's talk about what happens when someone either doesn't have something or didn't have a well thought through one. In other words, you know, didn't take the time that we're talking about up front to really map it out. Have you had situations where you've had to undo things, and what are the ramifications of that?
I haven't had situations in family business where I've had to undo, but I've had situations in estate planning where I've had to undo. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it really doesn't work. An easy way to take care of a problem is to disclaim. So disclaiming is the way to say, I don't want the assets that were left to me in the will. And that could help. It's really to involve to get in, to hear, mm-hmm. but it's a way to hopefully help with estate taxes mm-hmm. if someone disclaims their interest in an estate. That's a good way to unwind. And in fact, I had a client, he wasn't my client for drafting the will. He had a few million dollars and he thought he would go online and do his own will. Mm-hmm. And that was at the time where the unified credit was $600,000. So he left $600,000 to his wife and the remainder to the children. And the remainder that was left to the children was all taxable.
Oh.
Where had he done the reverse, he would not have had a taxable estate.
Mm.
So we had to unwind that situation.
Mm.
And that's fine if everyone gets along and agrees. But I have another situation that I'm currently working on where there's five brothers.
Mm.
And whenever there's more than two children, there's mm-hmm. always one who has a different opinion.
Sure.
And this one can result in litigation because they're not all agreeing on how the estate should have been handled in the first place.
Oh, wow. And the family member has already passed.
Correct.
So it's passed. Wow. You know, this is, to a certain extent, there's a part of it that's fairly simple, but as you describe this, particularly in a family business, because you're now talking about succession, you're talking about eventual ownership, you're talking about the key employees, this just gets more and more and more complex.
It's a very complex process, but it can be made very easy for you if you just take the time and you don't get nervous about it.
Right. So if I hang up, sign off from this show today and I start to pull together my assets and I say, I'm really going to take care of this. And I call my estate planning attorney and I get started on this start to finish. How long before this problem might be off my plate?
Well, that all depends.
Okay.
It depends because usually what happens is in my instance, I'll get your plan done rather quickly
mm-hmm.
and then I'll have a hard time getting you back in the office to complete it.
That's tradition.
So most of the time, it's the client that dictates how quickly something can get taken care of.
Right. So, but
it could be anywhere from 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
to 2 months.
Right.
To I'm sending you periodic emails and phone calls saying, where can I meet you to wrap this up?
Right. This, stop me if I'm wrong, but it also sounds to me that anyone with real estate involved in their estate really needs to be on top of this. That's even because there is no liquidity right now with real estate. So.
Correct. There's no liquidity right now. You're lucky if you can sell something and make a little money to keep the rest of the estate afloat.
Right.
But it's not guaranteed, in 2010.
Yeah. And could result in having to sell the business, which would really be a tragedy if that wasn't the intention.
And then you'd be lucky if you could actually sell the business.
Right.
For some value or whatever value you think it is that's going to cover the taxes on the real estate.
Right. So your demise, even if your family could keep the business running as it was, status quo, now there's this huge other burden that they have to.
Correct.
Another topic that comes up frequently from our guests and family business owners is all around philanthropy. Many families, we had a guest on who shared, you know, how much that is another focal point for the family. What role does philanthropy play in the estate planning and what are the complexities, especially around siblings, perhaps when that happens?
Well, if your goal is to set up some sort of philanthropy arm in your estate, it might be a good thing to discuss that with your children because they might not be on the same wavelength as you are. And so communication is the best in your mm-hmm. family. Philanthropy is a great way to take care of some of the potential estate taxes mm-hmm. because when you donate money, that money comes out of your estate tax-free,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it might then lower your estate.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore lower your estate tax burden.
Mm-hmm.
But in a family business or in any business, you have to make sure everyone's in the same place. How much are you giving to philanthropy each year? Or when you pass away, what amount of dollars or what percentage is going to philanthropy? Do the children know that? Is that a big surprise?
Mm-hmm. Have you ever worked with family businesses or other individuals where there's been, you know, you have a mediator training, but some kind of a consultant or somebody there to deal with the emotional piece? Because what I'm hearing is that that's a big piece of this. So is that a good person to have on the team?
A mediator? Hopefully it doesn't come to that.
Right.
I, as an estate planning attorney, try and try and get the siblings comfortable. Mm-hmm. I also tell my clients, bring your kids into the business as quick as possible if that's what you intend to do. Give them as much responsibility as you're comfortable or maybe not so comfortable with. Let's see how they're going to run the business while you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a great determination of what you're going to do in your estate plan.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how they're going to handle the business once you're gone. But if mm-hmm. they're in it and they're really, they have a key role in the business while you're alive, that's a great test to see what's going to happen in your business in the future.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know, you mentioned bring the children into the family. When the first appointment to really talk about estate planning, is that usually the whole family? Is it usually the business owners and absent the children? How does that usually work best?
It's usually the business owner,
mm-hmm.
Mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come to see me first. And the children won't be my client at that time.
Right.
Okay. So I'll explain to mom and dad, make sure you discuss this. I'll check in with them. Have you discussed this? Do they know this?
Mm-hmm.
As long as the lines of communication are open, it should make everything run smoothly throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
You might not know. Your child might not want this business or want mm-hmm. this burden when you pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Discuss
mm-hmm.
this with them so you know from the get-go how you're supposed to draft your plan.
Mm-hmm. So I know every estate plan is different. Every family is different, but I'm betting that some of the pitfalls are pretty similar. Well, anything that you see that's a familiar thing that's left out, that's forgotten, not discussed, kind of kicked under the rug, that really trips things up on estate planning?
Just basically the business plan. Mm-hmm. Once mom or dad pass away, or mom and dad both pass away, how's the business going to be handled? Is it going to be still a successful business?
Mm-hmm.
That's usually what happens. If both, say there's two brothers working in the family business, they might have different ideas on what direction to put the family business in.
Mm-hmm.
Communication is the key.
Yeah.
It would be nice if the whole family could sit down at the beginning, once the brothers or once the kids are brought into the business, to determine some goals, some plan, some roadmap on the future of the company.
Mm-hmm. I hope we're not scaring our listeners, but I can hear a lot of red flags that hopefully that they're listening to, because, you know, this whole issue of having to come up with liquidity, having to pay out for siblings, not having a plan, not having succession, can really take down what could have been a very successful legacy that goes
sure.
on. I'm sure you see that all the time. Any other pitfalls that I haven't thought of, or any other thoughts in terms of motivating people to get to their attorney and get started on this? It just seems to me like the sooner the better.
I always tell people, once you feel comfortable with your trusted advisors, that's just one thing that's off your shoulders.
Right.
You can then focus on your business and not worry about your estate plan.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else is worrying about that for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to run your business. I know how to take care of your estate plan. You worry about running your business and let someone else handle your estate plan.
Yeah, it would seem like this would be a big burden if it's off your shoulders, as long as you know to revisit it pretty frequently.
Sure, I mean, and it's a good gift to give to your children and your spouse because
mm-hmm.
if you don't have an estate plan, then you're leaving them with even more of a problem when you're gone.
Yeah, I know. I think if any of our listeners want to Google family business estate tragedies, you will find many a story of businesses that were torn apart and families that were torn apart by this issue. So that's
sure.
why we keep bringing it up, because we're talking to people about how to build a successful business, but it can be brought down pretty quickly without this kind of planning.
I'd agree.
So, Lisa, we always like to give our guests a chance to give some really hot tips for our clients, and these are things our listeners rather that they can come back and source on our website. What words of wisdom would you leave our audience with?
I would say, first of all, they should communicate within the business with your key employees and your family members so that everyone is on the same plan and the same track for a future successful business. I say plan early. Plan before you get too far ahead of yourself. It's that much harder. Once you've been in business for 5-10 years, it's that much harder to go back and make a plan. It's a lot easier to do it at the outset when you have those fresh goals in mind. And lastly, make sure you hire a professional. don't try and do this with documents off the internet or your friend's set of plans, because each family business is different, each situation is different, and only a professional can help you get what you need.
Yeah, that's excellent. Lisa, I really want to thank you. As I said, we haven't really dug into this topic as thoroughly as we've wanted to, and your insight today has really helped to kind of peel back the layers on it a little bit. I want to let our family audience know how to reach you if they have any questions or are motivated to get going on their own estate planning.
Sure. They can find me on the internet at www.rolladerandshipple, that's R-O-L-A-D-E-R-A-N-D, Shipple, S-H-I-P-P-E-L.com, or you can just call me, 770-442-0330.
Excellent. And for our listeners, you can find the contact information always on our website at www.familybusinessradio.businessradiox.com. And by Tuesday of next week, you'll actually be able to download the podcast from today's discussion so that you can keep that handy, although I hope that you just download it so you can get ready to get your paperwork together and get on with your estate planning so that you can get on with your business building. Thank you again, Laura.
Thank you so much for having me.